Let us turn now to the book of Proverbs and chapter 3. The man turned up at his friend's house on a very dark night. When his friend opened the door to him, he was limping very badly. There were bruises on his legs and on his feet. "Oh," said his friend, "what's happened to you?" "Well," he said, "very stupidly, I came out without a light. And it's a dark night, I couldn't see anything, and every now and again I fell over a stone or a rock and fell." "Well," said his friend, "next time, bring your light with you." And I feel that there are many people in the world today, perhaps most people in the world today, who are traveling without a light. The result is that they fall over the stones, the stumbling blocks. We need the light. No doubt we need the light of God. And here in chapter 3 and in the first 3 verses, God speaking through his servant Solomon says this: "My son, do not forget my teaching." The Hebrew word there is law, the law of God. The Ten Commandments and the other 5 books at the beginning of the Old Testament. Do not forget my teaching. Every Sabbath, they traveled to the local synagogues, and there they were listening to the word of God read to them in liturgical form week by week, and the rabbi would then teach them. So Solomon is saying to the people, do not forget my teaching. Forgetfulness is a great hindrance to Christian growth, to security, to confidence. We must not forget. How many times in the Old Testament do we find the words remember? We find it also in the New Testament, where Jesus says, do this in remembrance of me concerning the communion service. But in the Old Testament, you find this word, not to forget. In Ecclesiastes, Solomon uses the word again. In chapter 12, speaking to the young people, he says, remember now your Creator in the days of your youth. It's so easy to forget. How many children do we find when we give the most careful instruction and then ask them later, what did we say? And they say, I don't remember. Remembrance requires discipline. Do not forget my law, but let your heart keep my commandments. I've spoken with older folks whose school days were decades in the past, when they were in their 80s, and they were remembering things that they were taught in school all those years ago, 60, 70 years ago. Poems that the teacher had made them learn by heart. And that's the secret. If God's law is in our hearts, we will not forget. God's law lodges in our very souls if we take it to heart. For it is the heart that stirs the emotions, and it is the emotions that impress the information upon the mind. And here it is. We do not forget the teaching because it is in our heart. So let your heart keep my commandments. The heart is everything. The heart is a hold-all containing all that we are within ourselves, in our inner life. Not only our heart, but our emotions and our thinking and our souls, our spiritual life, all that is bound up under the word heart. But it also has a very practical application, as we shall find. The result of this, verse 2, is that God lengthens the days of our life. This, of course, is a promise that comes with the commandment concerning our mothers and fathers. God preserves and warns and keeps from danger those who know his law. And the result is peace they will add to you. There is nothing better to find in an older Christian, a settled peace of heart. Verse 3, do not let kindness and truth leave you. What is the connection between kindness and truth? Well, is it not that what do we find in the law? We find the kindness of God. And that's where human growth begins. This is the key. God's chesed, God's graciousness, his kindness, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Kindness and truth. Discover the kindness of the Lord. And where does God's kindness come from? But his love. And love is mentioned in verse 12. Whom the Lord loves, he reproves. He's disciplining us. As a father corrects the son in whom he takes delight. Yes, God's kindness stems from God's love. And love is one of the primary attributes of God. Oh, Pastor, what are the other ones, you say? Well, the other ones are God's sovereignty and God's justice and God's love. Those are the inner three of the character of God, which is found both in the Son and in the Father and in the Holy Spirit. Kindness and truth. There is no deception in God. There is no deceiving us. Kindness and truth, or truthfulness. God's truth that we read in his law, now extended to the New Testament as well. In God's book, his Bible, his word, we find all these things concerning the settledness of the Christian life. Do not let kindness and truth leave you. Bind them about your neck. Not literally, of course, although some of the Jews have done this in times past, bind them about your neck and write them on the tablets of your heart. God saw fit to write his law upon two tablets of stone, which Moses brought down from Mount Sinai. How much more is it so wonderful that God should write his law, his commandments, upon the tablets of our heart? Verse 4 tells us that the settled Christian in an unsettled world finds favor and good repute in the sight of God and man. There is something that makes a Christian stand out. In the place of his or her work, in the neighborhood, in the society round about, there is something special about a man and a woman, and a boy and a girl, who have impressed the law of God upon their hearts. How do we know that it is impressed upon our hearts? Because we can quote it. Because we can state it. Because we can use it. Because we can apply it. All these things. And the result is that such a settled light is looked to with great envy, especially in times of difficulty, of illness, in times of very great difficulty and perplexity. The peace of God in the heart of man is a testimony in the sight of God and man, a sign that we belong to God, that we take him seriously. I'm longing for people to come into our church who show signs of seriousness, and also in the sight of man. People take note of what you say, how you act. And the result is that they're able to recognize that it is God who is at the bottom of this person's life. Verse 5. How then is it possible to be a witness in the world? Don't fall over. God prevents us from falling over the stumbling blocks that lie there before us, either here and there, strewn by accident, or set by the devil to trip us up. We began with this little story of the man who came into such a dreadful state because he had no light. Where is this light? God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. This isn't a coming to church, nodding our heads, and saying, yes, I acknowledge that we need the Lord. I acknowledge that we must keep his law. I acknowledge the wonder of Christ's death for my sin upon the cross, and then go out into the highways and byways of life and not take the light with us. We need that light. And how do we get it? It's here in the first word of verse 5. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. What is trust? Entrust. Entrust your heart and your life and your soul and your mind to the Lord. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and mind and soul and strength. and your neighbor as yourself. That is a summary, our Lord's summary, of the whole law. Entrust yourself to that light. Carry it with you. Replenish the batteries by empowering it with the Word of God. Entrust yourself to the Lord with all your heart. What is it to entrust but to give ourselves unconditionally to the Lord? To entrust ourselves mean to trust the Lord completely in every circumstance, however large or small. Trust in the Lord. That's the secret. That's the key to our relationship with God. Do we trust in the Lord? Do we entrust ourselves to the Lord? And to lay aside, he says, our own understanding. Do not lean on your own understanding. The Jews were very careful to make sure that they made foreign treaties with the great world powers around them from time to time. Egypt, Assyria. And the prophet says, you've put your trust in Egypt. This is a stick. It is splintered and it will pierce your hand. Do not lean on your own understanding. Never go to the world for the issues of life. Take counsel of the Lord. Do not lean on your own understanding or the understanding of anyone else. Trust in the Lord. The issues of life are determined by the Lord. They are taught by the Lord. They are applied by the Lord. And if we're true Christians, growing in the faith, then we will trust in the Lord. We will not lean on our own understanding. It's so easy for a pastor to apply his psychology lessons that he learnt at college. It's very easy to fall back upon the lessons on counseling that he heard years ago at college. He looks to the way in which he was taught in setting up committees, in looking through problems and coming to certain solutions. That pastor will fail. He will be ineffective. We do not lean on our own understanding. I was asked to speak at the Lancashire Bible College some years ago, and they said, would you take the morning service for the students? I said, yes, I'll do that. Not too long, they said. No. Won't be too long. 10 minutes. That all right? Yes, fine. You'll have to be translated. Fine. That knocked me down to 5 minutes. I thought to myself, what can I say in those 5 minutes that's going to impact the lives of all those hundreds of students from different backgrounds, different religious backgrounds, different church backgrounds, different levels of Christian experience and achievement? What can I say to them? So I immediately turned to Proverbs chapter 3 and I spoke on verse 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not lean on your own understanding. And many of these young men were going to take up churches or going back to their churches to assist their pastors. In all your ways, acknowledge him and he shall direct your paths. And so I spoke on these verses as I'm speaking to you on this occasion, and I completed what I felt I should say to these young men and women who are going to take up the Lord's work in Sri Lanka. And at the end, the principal came, his name is Ben Marnicum, and he said to me, "Jeff," he said, "we can tell that you're a pastor speaking from the heart of a pastor to the hearts of those who are going to be pastors." And indeed, that's exactly right, verses 5 and 6. Verse 6. "In all your ways, acknowledge him." Now, I spoke of the sovereignty of God just a little while ago, and akin to that attribute of God, the sovereignty of God, is his kingship over his creation. God has lost nothing. With the coming of sin into the world, he is still the creator, he is still the sustainer, he is still the provider, and he is still the savior. "In all your ways, acknowledge him." That means all the issues of life that bear hard upon our hearts must be brought before him before we take any decisions. Acknowledge him. We're very good at acknowledging our hearts or our minds. We're very good at acknowledging good advice from other Christians. But first of all, before everything else, acknowledge him. The successful Christian is the one who learns to bring all the issues before the Lord first. What does God say to me? What does God want me to do? Not what I think is right and proper, for that way causes Christians to come unstuck. In all your ways, every single way of your life, you must acknowledge him. In your home life, with your parental responsibilities, in your work life, in every other way, in your social obligations, acknowledge him. We did not read Psalm 51 by mischance this evening, because the way up is always down. For the Christian, the way down is always repentance. And the way up, that's God. We leave it to God. But you can be quite sure that the way of repentance, although is the way of humility or humiliation, is also the means of restoration when God takes us up. Poor David, how low he felt, with adultery and murder on his record in heaven. And yet he came before the Lord, acknowledged his sin. "My sin is ever before me. In iniquity my mother conceived me." Our sinful ways may be brought before the Lord, acknowledged before him, as well as all the other ways of our life. Acknowledge him. And he will make your path straight. What's happened to the stumbling blocks? You don't run into them because you've got the light. You take the light with you. Your path is straight because God straightens it for us. Surely that is all our experience as we listen to his word tonight. Verse 7. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Oh, I must get that book in the bookshop. That's a good one. That should help me. How to be a successful Christian. Let's get that book on the prosperity gospel. How God can prosper us in our lives. You don't need any of those books. You've got the book of wisdom. And here it is, right in front of you. If you read it every day, or many times a day, then you'll be filled with God's wisdom, not man's wisdom. Men are very good at giving advice. God doesn't give advice. He gives commandments. Jesus says to his disciples, follow me. You have a wonderful role model for all the issues of life in the life of Jesus. He was a man amongst men and lived a perfect life and suffered as we all suffer, rejection. He suffered. And yet, what a wonderful life. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Learn from Jesus. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil. Well, if we fear the Lord, if we have such a high respect for the Lord and put him first in everything, then we will have that light that will enable us to turn away from evil. There will be no stumbling blocks. And the result, it will be healing to your body and refreshment to your bones. So let us trust the Lord with all our heart, and not lean to our own understanding. In all our ways, acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths.